The number one question we get from listeners is, do we have a written step-by-step roadmap to guide you on how to train your dog? We don't, but Standing Stone Supply does. They're the creators of the complete step-by-step dog training program that takes your dog from brand new puppy and gets it well on its way to that finished dog you've always dreamed of. They've mapped out the timelines to help guide you, the videos for every step of the way to show you, and even have the needed gear made into shopping lists to make it easy to supply you. Check out the course at standingstonesupply.com to gain unlimited access for all current as well as future lessons, and be sure to use the code GDIY to save 10% at sign up. All right, Mr. Joe Davis, welcome to your GDIY profile here at Pheasant Fest. Is this your first time at Pheasant Fest?
No, this would be my third time. The second year that I've done the full weekend.
That's right. We met at the last one.
Yep, we met at the On-X party last year. Had a blast up there.
I can't believe I forgot that, but, you know, you meet so many freaking people. They run together. It's
hard. I'm sure you've had a hectic year, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's why you come up here, right? Come up here to sit in a corner and not talk to anybody.
No
that
kidding.
Is what it is.
Yeah, the amount of people you meet up here is just really neat.
Yeah. What keeps you coming to these events?
So, I'm a GSP guy, and I come up here for dog training, seminars, just knowledge. The Doykins bumpers, because you always catch a good deal. I'm kind of cheap, so.
Oh, I got you.
Coming up here for a deal. And then got some friends that we come up here with, so just have a good time, get hotel rooms, just kind of have a few drinks and talk dogs for a while.
Yeah, so where do you live?
So I'm Central Iowa, West Central Iowa.
All right, so not too far from here this year.
No, about 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
No, that ain't bad at all.
Yeah, a little closer than mine. You know, I get multiply that by five, and you have my drive time. But so you're a GSP guy. You have one. You have multiple.
So I'm on one, but this is dog two for me.
Okay.
He's 22 weeks right now, so just getting started again. So. My first dog had a just tragedy freak deal.
Oh.
He was two, but that's the dog that got me into all this. So it makes it interesting to go from one dog to another, though.
Oh yeah, starting over and you know the fill in the blank, the dreams, the big dreams, like what could be for the pups. That's always the fun daydreaming part of it.
Oh yeah.
Right?
So, with this dog, I'll actually be joining NAVDA, and that'll be my first time joining the NAVDA and doing that. So that's going to be a fun experience for me. Ira, who we were talking about earlier, he's been really pushing on me to get into NAVDA. So, I think it'll be fun. We got a new chapter where I'm at. So,
yeah, that ought to be fun. What are you? You're in Iowa, so I'm assuming pheasant guy.
Oh yeah, big time pheasant guy. Once pheasant season hits. You don't find me anywhere but in a field, really and truly. And the dogs, they kind of got me into doing that because it's just, I got the dog for a reason, and they're bred to hunt, and they're going to hunt, so.
Yeah. Do you chase anything else besides the pheasant? I mean, I know in Iowa you got some quail and even some huns in certain little pockets.
We have a few quail. I try to get them on quail, but we don't usually shoot them. We just get quail up, and if we do shoot, we'll shoot the last one of the covey that gets up, because there's always that one straggler.
Right, it's always the one that put so many people. Covey gets up, boom boom, and they sit there and like curse that they missed the whole covey, and then if they just reloaded that straggler, they would have had a nice little gimme shot.
There's been quite a few times where people are sitting with empty guns and that last quail gets up, and then you hear some real colorful words coming out of their mouths.
Oh, yeah. That's part of it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know that, unfortunately, we lost the first one at too young of an age, but was that your first one?
Yep, that was my first GSP. My parents, they had labs growing up, but I've always hunted over short hairs just through family. So I grew up hunting, so it's not like it was anything truly new to me when it all started.
Do you remember what made the impression in your head that, like, all right, I want to get a bird dog?
So, funny story. My mom texted me one day. She was like, hey, if you're going to be home more, I'd buy you a dog.
So mama's bribing you.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I was showing cattle at the time and just got done with the show stuff. And I was like, joke's on you. I'm going to be home. So that night we went over and looked at the litter and just – once you get in there and you hold the pup, it's game over.
Yeah, I tell everybody, if you're researching and trying to figure out which puppy or line to go with, do not go.
Don't go look at them.
Don't go look at the puppy.
Yep.
Especially don't put it in your hands. Especially don't take your kids to look at the puppies. Yeah, there's little tricks and tips there to where it's like, I'm just going to go look at you are. Okay.
Oh, yeah. My dad, he wasn't a real big fan of it, but you know what? He, I think, loves it more than my mom does. He just doesn't want to say it.
Yep.
But
so, you know, the trick was on mom. You're already heading home, but I guess, you know, it still worked out. She got her boy home, but got a dog out of the deal,
oh, yeah.
I guess.
Well, joke's on her. As soon as I got the dog, we were just out every weekend hunting. So
so maybe it didn't work out as she had planned. But so talk to me about if that's your first one and you grew up with some labs. Figuring out the whole training thing, you know, that whole process, was it uncomfortable? Did you have a mentor, some help? Like, just talk to me about that process.
So when I first started, for like, I would say up until 8 or 9 months, I was just kind of winging it, just doing the simple stuff, just do the recall, just because I did know how to do that just through the labs. But then when it came to pointing and whoa and staying steady, that was a whole new ball game to me. And the one thing I did was just a lot of bird contact from a young age. And then after that first season, I started listening to this podcast and got some better understanding of what to do, how to build a bird dog. And out of that, a lot of people have came to me and asked me what they can do to build their bird dog too, which is really neat for me.
It's always kind of surprising or off-putting even to when you first start figuring it out.
Yep.
And then other people are asking you questions as if you know everything.
Yeah,
and you're just like, guys, like I'm just figuring this out. But it just goes to show how many people are out there actually looking for help or got some sort of guidance.
Yeah. And this podcast did quite a bit for me and my dog training. And whenever someone asked me, hey, what do I need to do with this dog? Each dog's different, but I do try to talk this podcast up quite a bit. I'm like, go give them a listen on whatever topic you need. They probably got already.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. It makes me – it takes a lot of pressure off of me. Yep. So.
Yeah, so many people, if they haven't heard of the podcast, they ask, well, have you covered this? And I'm like, guys, like there's like 200-something episodes. Like, I've covered the vast majority of topics, but there's also plenty of topics I haven't covered.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, you know, there's also you can go back on all these topics and cover it from a fresh new angle, perspective, new person. Like, it's just, to me, like, the biggest question, I think you may have even asked this the other day when we were talking, to where it's like, how do you keep coming up with the topics? And I'm like, I stay curious. It's a never-ending well for me.
Oh, yeah, And like I said, I don't know if it was yesterday when I stopped in and talked, there'd be days and weeks that I just go back and start from the beginning and just listen to it, get a new angle on what I heard the first time.
Yeah.
So that way I can really understand what's going on.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into that question, though, that you know that I ask everybody on the profiles. What's your favorite guest episode or topic that's really helped you in some way, shape, or form?
So the hold with the force fetch, that really helped me.
With Mark Whalen?
Yeah, with Mark Whalen. That was a real good one for me to start doing the true training, quote unquote. So, yeah, that one was a big one for me. Mm. And then your heel, I forget what the title of it is, but it was a heel-em podcast.
Okay. Oh, probably one of the first ones we did, the hear 'em, heal 'em, sit 'em, or some stupid title
like
that we put on it.
Yep, it was something like that.
Yeah.
That one did quite a bit for me starting out just because I knew how to kind of train, but I needed some guidance on how to make it, because I never trained heel before my first dog. I'd always just train a recall because our dogs were just hunting dogs that came back home with us and laid on the couch, and we had the fat lab that you got out once a year for opener. Yeah. That was our lab.
The typical fat pheasant lab. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, they don't see the field between pheasant season and dove season.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dove opener.
That dog didn't even see dove opener.
So they go out there, and it's like, good Lord, I'm going through cattails. Yeah. And it's like they haven't moved in a year.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That dog did not like it either. He was a hunting dog, but as soon as he could get in some AC after the fact, he was all for it.
But, I mean, it's like if the dog was in shape then, it sounds like you probably would have had a decent dog.
Oh, yeah. And that is one thing I try to do now is anymore, if I'm not hunting, I'm training. And if I'm not hunt or training, then we're just going for a walk, going for a run, just keeping me and the dog in shape.
Yeah.
Because I don't like being tired after a hunt.
Yep. No, I mean, so many people, I mean, I know a lot of guys that they'll just hop on the four-wheeler and go run their dogs, and I'm guilty of that on my fair share as well. Well, but, you know, it's like I always like to get off a four-wheeler too because, you know, we need to be moving as well.
Right.
You know, so many dogs will be in shape, but then the owner can't even keep up with them. So it's like, you know, what's the big deal if your dog's in shape, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that wonder how I keep going on weekend after weekend of bird hunting, but – it's just the day in a life, honestly. Every weekend's the same to me. Just get out and get the dog going.
You're just one of those walkers that you I'm the same way. It's like you get me on the ground, I'll just keep on walking and, you know, never really stop until we hit a road or need to turn around or whatever.
Pretty much. Till I hit a fence line, I'm moving.
Yeah. So let's go into the other question. Go ahead and tell everybody the mistake that you've made that sticks out in your head that you think other people would find relatable and helpful in some way, shape, or form.
E-collar training, surprisingly enough. When I started with the first dog, I did the standard, just put the collar on the dog and see what happens, which is a bad thing to do. So bad, especially after listening to this. And I was really guilty of it, but after that, I started doing a conditioning with it. But, yeah, e-collar too soon and then not conditioning them to it. And I was training with the e-collar. That was just a bad all the way around.
So were you just throwing it on and it was kind of like just sink or swim? We're going to see how this dog reacts.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's not like I was going e-collar, turn it up to 10 high and just roast them. It was, well, beep, see if he understands what a beep means.
Because he's just going to naturally infer what that means. Yeah.
I was fresh out of high school when I got the first dog, so not a whole lot of thought process going through an 18-year-old boy's head. So.
Oh, yeah, I remember, man, I was doing the same dumb things with my coonhound. I mean, not that I was doing much with an e-collar with that, but it's just I was thinking about this the other day, where just thinking back on some of the just dumb training that I did with that coonhound, like that poor dog. But you know, that's how you learn, right?
Oh, yeah.
And especially back when I was doing that, there wasn't podcasts, Google wasn't a thing. So I mean, you just kind of
got to figure it out.
You got to figure it out one way or another.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is like I talk to a lot of guys. At the end of the day, we all meet up at the same shop, just talk birds, and I tell them that like I'm listening to this and reading up on stuff, and they're like, well, back in the day, we didn't have e-collars even. It was a check cord. And one guy even said, I just threw 8-shot in. I'm like, kudos to you. I don't think I could pull that one off.
Man, that old school stuff, I think it would be eye-opening to a lot of people maybe haven't really read some of that old stuff or talked to some really old-timers. Some of the stuff they did, like, can you imagine if they would have thrown some of that stuff up on a podcast or on YouTube?
Oh, man, they'd be – that cancel culture would hit them hard if they were throwing that up on a podcast nowadays.
Yep.
Yeah, it was crazy to hear some of those old-timers talk, though, because after talking to them, those are some of the best bird dogs you'd ever see, though, because didn't need an e-collar. After one round of 8-shot, they were listening. But, no.
We do not condone that. Anybody listening?
Do not do that by any means. But, no, like the one guy, he said – he bought two dogs out of the same litter, and they weren't hunting, so he just took the mom with, and she'd hunt with them, and the pups were messing around. She rolled them, and dogs hunted after that.
All right.
That was new to me before I even heard that, too.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that, man, it'll give somebody new perspective to what, you know, quote-unquote old-school training really was.
Yeah, some of the old-school stuff is just so
out of
pocket.
It's gnarly, man. Yeah. What kind of plans? Do you do much traveling for hunting, or you just stick around in Iowa?
A little bit. I come up here to South Dakota, try to make it up here once a year. It all kind of depends on work for me. But try to make it up here once a year, and then Ira, my buddy, he comes down, he does a hunt with us, so just try to trade hunt for hunt, make it a fun time. But we just kind of stay around the local area for the most part.
Gotcha. Well, I know you got the younger dog, you know, the first one, unfortunately, again,
right.
You know, accident, but the younger dog. What's big picture your target goal? Just a good pheasant dog? I know you said you're getting into NAVDA, but are you interested in the testing?
I'm not wanting to test, but I got a feeling I will test.
Like a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm not joining NAVDA to test. I'm buying a hunting dog, not a testing dog.
Right.
So. But, yeah, I'll probably end up testing. We'll see what NA's looking like for that time of year because work has a lot to do with it, too, for me. Because harvest is a big time of year for us. So, but it would be nice to do a utility test at some point and pass that with prize one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, pretty much just a steady pheasant dog is what I'm looking for out of me personally.
Yeah, roger that. I get that, man. I like it. Well, dude, I appreciate you coming by. I appreciate the listening support over the year and all the shares, and that, you know, that means a whole lot to me. It's great linking up, getting to know you a little bit better. You're gonna have to stay in touch and keep me updated on how the NAVDA adventure goes.
Oh, for sure. I'll try to keep in touch with you.
Yeah, man, sounds good. Well, I'll let you get back to going around and trying to find those little deals and snake out some Dawkins or something like that.
All right. Yep, thank you.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you.
Yep.
Everyone seems to have the same questions or concerns when they start trying to decide which kennel to purchase for their vehicle. Perhaps it's time to stop asking all the questions and just design the perfect setup that meets your exact needs. B-Pro Kennel specializes in designing and fabricating custom premier dog boxes handcrafted right here in the USA from high-grade, lightweight aluminum. They'll get you set up with the size dimensions, lighting, storage, battery boxes with solar charging, and anything else you can dream of. Stop stressing over buying the wrong setup just to have to replace it again in a year. Go ahead and check out bprokennels.com and get exactly what you want.
If you're considering changing your dog's food soon, then be sure to check out Eukanuba Pro Performance. Their science-backed formulas are designed to take your dog to the next level of performance. They also now have the new puppy formula to help your pup start strong and live active. When looking at all the different food options, remember Eukanuba to help power their ultimate performance.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Bob from Lone Duck's Gun Dog Chronicles podcast. I hope you just enjoyed the episode you just listened to. And if you did, I think you'll enjoy hopping on ours. We've got professional retriever trainers and upland bird dog trainers from across the country and world sharing their tips and tricks and great stories to help you and your dog get ready for the season. We'll see you there.